practicing the application.
Amen.
This is really the burden of this message. We want to keep applying everything that we've seen and heard in these past 2 weeks of the Summer School of Truth. If you look at this outline, actually it has a lot of practical points. You know, our burden and our desire, young people, is not that you would enjoy the Lord here, you would bear His image, have His expression, even exercise His representation while you're at the Summer School of the Truth, but we want you to go back into your normal daily living and continue applying all the things that you've seen and heard in these 2 weeks. You know, sometimes we have this concept, and I think somebody shared this. You know, if only Summer School of the Truth was every day, right? You know, when I was a young person, I had that view too. Oh, I wish I could just be in the Summer School of the Truth. So enjoyable. I'm always in my spirit. I'm with my companions. But actually, brothers and sisters, you have to realize God's heart is to recover the entire earth. He wants His image, right? He wants His expression. He wants to have dominion. He wants to have His representation. Not just here. Not just in Franklin. Not just in this meeting hall. Not just when we're here together. But He wants it at your school. In your locality. Among your friends. In your family. He wants to be expressed. He wants to be represented. This is His desire. God wants to regain the whole earth. So because of this, you know, actually we need to go back from the summer school. We need to go back to our normal day-to-day living, right? It might seem mundane, right? Going to class, coming home, studying, doing extracurricular activities. But God wants to be expressed in everything you do. And He wants the way for His kingdom, right, to be brought back onto the earth. So, with this in mind, we have to see that these past 2 weeks, we really got into what was on God's heart, right? His heart was to dispense Himself into man, right? He wants man to express Him in his living, right? And to represent Him, right, over all the earth, including every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God went through a process, right? And we saw that before God was able to achieve what was on His heart, right? In Genesis, man fell, right? And so man fell in his condition before God. We learned there were two problems, right? Inwardly, there was a problem. Outwardly, there was a problem. I was considering, just, you know, as we were re-speaking these things and again, God's heart for man was that man would enjoy Him as a tree of life. And, you know, in that example of the disobedient child and the mother, you know, I thought about this. Why did the child drink of the poison? Maybe it was because the child didn't really know what was on the mother's heart. The child questioned the mother's intention. Actually, Satan, that's what he did, right? He sneakily came in and put something into Eve's mind, questioning God's original intention. God wants to be everything to man. God wants man to enjoy Him. God wants to provide for him. But Satan twisted that, caused Eve to question, why, really? Did God really say? For God knows that the day that you eat of it, right, your mind will be open. It's as if there was something better out there, right? So in the same way, that child must have questioned, well, mom told me not to drink of this. Well, maybe it is something delicious. Maybe it's pretty sweet, right? Maybe it does taste like Kool-Aid. So let me take a drink. So brothers and sisters, we need to be aware of the subtle tactics of the enemy, right? And we need to see that God's intention is good. That God loves man. God loves man. God is love and He loves man. Even though man was in such a pitiful condition, weren't you touched? God didn't start all over. He could have, right? That illustration is so vivid in my mind. The crumpling. He could have crumpled us up. Started anew. Started afresh. It would have been much easier that way, right? You know, when you're doing, sometimes when you're doing a homework, right? You're writing a paper, you mess up. It's just so, it's easier to try to start over, right? Rather than try to go back and fix up your mistakes. But God loves man. And you need to see that, brothers and sisters. God loves man. Amen. 1 Timothy 2:4. God loves man. He desires for all men to be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. This is His desire. All men to be saved. This is His heart. So God had to go through a process, right? I hope this diagram means much more to you after these 2 weeks. God went through a process. He became a man, right? The infinite God became a finite man. You really have to consider what that meant. And then not only that, but He lived a perfect human life. And He died on the cross. So impressed, right? We saw His precious death, right? The 6 hours that He spent on the cross. And He did that for you and me. You know, I was thinking, you know, as brother was sharing that, what was, you know, of course He said those 7 things, but what was on His mind? You know, I paused to think, when the Lord was on the cross, what was He thinking about? He said those 7 things, but what was on His mind? And, you know, the verse from Hebrews came to me. Hebrews 12:2. Do you know that verse? We often sing this verse. Looking away unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. You know, when the Lord was on the cross, He was thinking about something. Something was on His mind. Something that caused Him to have great joy. We realize that He suffered so much, even before He was on the cross, but even while He was on the cross, He was there enduring the cross, but it was for a purpose. It's for the joy that was set before Him. Young people, do you realize, brothers, when the Lord was on the cross, Daniel, He saw you. Aaron, He saw you. Nathan, you were on His mind. Ken, the Lord endured the cross because He saw you. All of you, you were on His mind. You are part of that joy. He died for you and me. And this is why we really need to appreciate His death. We really need to appreciate the precious blood that He shed. We really need to appreciate the judicial aspect of God's full salvation. When we come to the Lord and we apply the blood, you know, sometimes, you know, when we pray, especially the younger ones, you know, we just pray, Lord, thank you, Lord, for your blood. We can't use that in a cheap way. Are you really thankful for the Lord's blood? Do you really see what it took? Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord, for your precious death. Thank you for your eternal redemption. We were forgiven. We were cleansed. We were justified. We've been reconciled. We've been positionally sanctified because God loves us. And so, seeing all this, actually, we need to realize that this is not just for us to appreciate these 2 weeks, but we need to apply this. Apply all of this in our daily living. So we come to this outline. And if you notice in this outline, how about we read the title together? Receiving and Growing in Salvation. And Roman numeral 1, let's read that together in those 2 points underneath. Receiving by believing. Believe and be baptized. Receive judicial redemption and the life and nature of God. So the first requirement, right, of our experience of God's full salvation is that we need to believe and we need to receive. If you don't believe that God became a man and that He died for your sins and He was resurrected on the third day and that now He's the Spirit inside of your spirit, then you have no way to enjoy all the steps in God's full salvation. We first need to believe. And I hope everyone in this room have believed. Are we believers?
Amen.
Yes. When we believe, we receive.
Amen.
And actually, that's from John 1:12, right? But as many as received them, to them He gave the authority to become children of God, to those who believe into His name. There you see the words believe and receive are used interchangeably. So, for example, if I said, Kevin, I'm going to give this iPad to you. Do you believe me?
Not really.
Now do you believe me?
Yes.
Yeah. Of course you do. Because you received it, right? Okay, I need it back. So in the same principle, right? When we believe into the Lord and we received Him, right? He comes into us. Receiving and believing are used interchangeably. To believe is to receive. To believe in the Lord is to receive the Lord into you, right? And so that's the first requirement. And I was so impressed, right? Brothers and sisters, this matter of receiving, right? Remember last night, our brother gave us 3 verses from Romans 5, right? Romans 5:10, 5:17, and 5:21. And do you remember Romans 5:17? What does it say? Well, at least the second half. Much more. Those receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. I was touched by that word again. Receive. You need to receive. You need to believe. We have the gift of righteousness. But if you don't receive it, it doesn't mean anything to you. Right? Oh, the gift of righteousness. This is a free gift. The Lord died, reconciled us back to God. We were justified. That means in the eyes before, in the eyes of God, we've been made righteous, right? Become even righteousness itself because of the Lord's redemption. That's the free gift that was given to us. All we have to do, brothers and sisters, you realize all we have to do is just to receive. You don't have to do anything. You just have to receive. Don't you like getting gifts? Who doesn't like getting gifts? Oh, exactly. Everyone likes getting gifts. This is the best gift.
Amen.
Do you realize that? This gift saved you.
Amen.
From eternal perdition.
Amen.
From the lake of fire. We received this.
Amen.
Okay, but not only that. What else did we get? The abundance of grace.
Amen.
The abundance.
Amen.
Not just a little grace, but the abundance of grace.
Amen.
You know, we use this water bottle a lot, right? Drinking, you know, the cup of salvation. I wish this cup was like You can't even describe it. This cup is enormous. It's never ending. Why? Because it's abundant. You know, if I keep drinking from this bottle, it'll eventually become empty. But this grace, right? We saw again from last night. It's all sufficient. It meets our every need. It's abundant grace. Aren't you so glad for organic salvation?
Amen.
This life is saving us.
Amen.
Day by day.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for the abundance of grace.
Amen.
I hope we're full of appreciation for God's full salvation.
Amen.
Okay, but now we need to see that moving on, right? Next week, during your new school year, we still want to be enjoying God's full salvation. We want to grow, right, in His salvation. So let's come to Roman number 2, and let's read the bold all together. Amen. So we want to grow, right? And we saw a lot of verses from these past 2 weeks, right, about growing, the need to grow, right? For example, in 1 Peter, right? We sang that the other day. As newborn babes who long for the guileless milk of the word, in order that you may grow, right? So as we're enjoying the word, the guileless milk of the word, what's going on? We're growing. And we're growing unto salvation, right? We're growing. The result is full salvation. So we need to grow. And this growing requires what? Cooperation. You know what that means? That means it requires you to cooperate with the Lord. You need to give Him consensus. You need to say amen, right? And we'll see there's a lot of practical ways for us to cooperate with the Lord, right? We need to cooperate with the Lord to enjoy Him in His rich provision. And, you know, as I was preparing, I realized, actually, many times our cooperation has to do with time, right? Do we make time? And actually, all these practical points, you know, having an intimate, loving, personal relationship with the Lord, you need to make time. You need to make time for the Lord. Reading the Word, reading the Bible, you need to make time. Going to the meetings, of course, you need time. Right? Praying, preaching the gospel, it all has to do with time. And this matter of time, in Ephesians 5:16, it says, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. And I got into this word time for a little bit. You know, that Greek word for time is not, there's two Greek words for time. One is kairos, and one is chronos. And chronos means seconds, minutes, duration, like time, in that sense. But kairos, and you'll find this in that footnote, it means favorable opportunity. In other words, it's opportunity. Do you seize the opportunity? You know, in preaching the gospel, have you ever had an experience that somebody walks by and you just had a sense that you needed to talk to that person, right? Have you ever seized that opportunity? One time I was getting off the plane, and as I was leaving, for some reason the Lord just stirred within me to talk to a certain lady. And the Lord just wouldn't let me go. And I realized that, actually, if I didn't talk to her, I probably would never see her again. And so we got off. She was sitting in a few rows above me, ahead of me, and then I had to catch up to her. And I kind of spoke to her, gave her a track, seizing the opportunity. You know, middle schoolers, you have a certain opportunity, right? This year, actually, not just the middle schoolers, all of us, the person that you sit next to in social studies, in history, in science class, there's an opportunity there. And if you don't seize it, it might pass away. That's what it means to redeem the time. You know, sometimes we say, we know that you're really busy, you're involved in so many things at school, and you might not have the time in the sense of minutes and seconds, but you have opportunities throughout the day that you need to redeem. And this word redeem, actually, if you look at the word in the Greek, it has a sense of something that was, you know, in the marketplace. Actually, it's the same word that was used in Galatians when it talked about redeeming us from the curse of the law. So that word redeem means that something was in the marketplace, or it was intended for another purpose, but it was bought back. It was brought back. So you could say, because of the fall, right, our time, in a sense, was intended to be used in a very wasteful way, right? But we have an opportunity to redeem it, to seize the opportunity. For example, you know, in the story of Mary, you know, when she poured out, broke the flask of alabaster, she seized the opportunity to anoint the Lord before His death. You could say, oh, you know, she probably had time later to do it as well. But there was an opportunity there. There was a golden opportunity there for her to do something in response because she loved the Lord. She did that prior to the Lord's death. And today, we're given an opportunity to love the Lord, to pour out upon Him, to break our flask of alabaster upon Him after His death. But we need to seize the opportunity. Do you have opportunities in your day to spend time with the Lord? Do you redeem the time? Or do you allow it to just kind of flutter by? Oh, I'm so burdened about this. Because in this generation, it's so easy for our time just to be wasted, right? It's so easy just to pick up the phone and immediately, it's like we're on autopilot. We immediately click on that blue icon with the F in it, or we were playing a certain game, or it's like we don't even think about it, right? Do you have that experience? Sometimes, you know, oh, I'm bored. I'll just go on Facebook and check what's going on. There's an opportunity there. You know, we're in meetings, especially, oh, the Lord's Day meeting. It's so easy just to pick up our phone. We might not think that anybody sees us, right? We might think that, oh, everybody thinks I'm just looking at verses or singing along. But we're on our phones. We're being distracted. Oh, Lord Jesus, we need to redeem the time. Amen. Redeem the time to love the Lord. Amen. Redeem the time while you are young to give your all to the Lord. A lot has to do with time. And so let's go on to all these practical points. Letter A. How about the sisters? You could read that for us. Amen. Intimate, loving, personal. I hope you underline, highlight those words. How about let's say that together? Intimate, loving, personal relationship with the Lord. Amen. Brothers and sisters, is your romance with the Lord Jesus fresh? Is it loving? Is it intimate? Is it personal? I hope it is. You need to make the time for the Lord Jesus, especially in the mornings. Seize the opportunity before the day sets in, before we check our texts or emails, before our mind starts to think about what we need to do for the rest of the day. grasp the opportunity to have some one-on-one time with the Lord Jesus. You need to do this. If you don't do this, then that cannot take place. Sanctification can't take place. Our minds being renewed cannot take place. Even being transformed, if you don't spend time with the Lord, if your relationship is not intimate, it's not personal, then we fall short. Then we're not able to grow. And so, you know, a good example of this is actually just between husbands and wives. You know, sometimes I'll just share a little, it's not really a story, but something that Esther tells me every now and then is like, she would say, I feel like we didn't spend any time together this whole day. And in the beginning, I couldn't understand what that meant because I was with her the entire day. But the thing is, we were with other saints. We were with other brothers and sisters. And I think, you know, it takes some time before husbands really, you know, realize, oh, that's what our wives are trying to say. What she was trying to say is she didn't have any personal time. She didn't have any one-on-one time with me. In the same way, we need to have a very personal relationship with the Lord. You know, when you're spending time with the Lord, it's like, you know, you're on a date with the Lord, right? And then when you're on a date, let's say, Andrew, why don't you pull up your seat? Oh, come closer. You're spending time with the Lord. Well, you know, let's just say, you know, in a relationship, right? You have a relationship with another person. What do you call a person who kind of attaches himself or herself to that? Let's say they're on a date. The third wheel, right? When you're in a relationship with the Lord and you're spending time with Him, you don't want the third wheel to be there. Right?
Yeah.
No. Where did you come from? Sometimes when we're spending time with the Lord, things come up in our minds, right? Our minds start wandering. We think about, it might be even good things, right? It might be, you know, I need to send Andrew later an email, right? Or, oh, I told Andrew that I was going to tell him about the gospel contacts that we met that, you know, he needs to be connected with. They could be good things. But when you're spending time with the Lord, you need to forget everything. And you need to focus on the Lord. Personal time. It has to be intimate. It has to be sweet. Right? And it has to be loving. In Song of Songs, the verse there, Song of Songs, chapter 1, 2 to 4, I think you know these verses. Draw me, and we will run after thee. Amen. Draw me. Me. It's very personal. Lord, I want you to draw me. Lord, I'm here to be drawn by you. You know, this takes a learning to know how to spend time with the Lord in this way. Draw me, and then we will run after you. I hope we have such a relationship with the Lord for the rest of our lives, right? We love the Lord Jesus. Lord, we love you. And then B, right? We need to, brothers, how about you read this? Confessing our sins to enjoy His forgiveness and cleansing, to remove the barrier so that His life can grow. So this is so important, right? The precious blood of the Lamb is the greatest provision for us because by it, our sins are forgiven and they're cleansed. And so here in the verse that is on the outline, Acts 24:16, Paul testified, right, that he exercised himself to always have a conscience without offense before God and before man. Always, right? Always. I was impressed with that word. Always. Not just in the summer school of the truth. Always. When you go home. Sometimes we have, anyway, when we go home, maybe we left our room kind of dirty and messy. So when we walked into the door, maybe the first thing our parents will say to us is not, "Hey, Daniel, what did you enjoy? How was your time?" But rather it might be, "Daniel, your room is so dirty. Go upstairs and clean it." And immediately you have a reaction. "I just came back from the summer school of truth, and you're telling me to clean my room?" Always, right? Always. In our family life, in our school life, we always need to have a conscience void of offense. Because we see that, you know, the sins, the hidden sins in our heart, it blocks the growth in life, right? And if you look into those verses about the different conditions of the heart, right? Four conditions of heart, and one of them was what the heart that contained hidden sins, right? Signified by the earth that had the rocks inside of them. That prevents the growth in life. That prevents the seed from growing, from taking root, from growing deeper into our heart. So we need to deal with these things. Don't let a day by without confessing your sins, dealing with these rocks, so that we can grow. Why do we deal with sins? It's so that we can grow. It's so that we can enjoy the Lord. It's so that there's no hindrances, no blockages to our fellowship with God, right? That's why we come to the Lord and ask Him to cleanse us from our sins. I like that example one of the younger brothers shared about the windshield, right? Why do you clean the windshield? So that you can see. If you're driving and your windshield is dirty, then you can't see. It's so that light can penetrate, right? In the same way. That's why we need to deal with our conscience. It's so that we can see God. It's so that we can enjoy God. So this is so important. We need to practice this. We need to practice this application. Amen. Okay, moving on to C, reading the Word. How about we read those following points? Let's alternate, brothers and sisters. So brothers on one.
To receive Spirit and life.
Amen. Amen. I'm so burdened for this. We need to read the Word.
Amen.
So much of this process depends on whether or not you get into the Word. It says to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. How does your mind get renewed? It's through the Word of God.
Amen.
We need to be washed, right, by the water that's in the Word. Our mind needs to be washed with the water, with the life, with God's life. And this only takes place if you are reading the Word. I think we are all so burdened for this. We need to seize the opportunity to read the Word. And so going back to that, you know, sometimes we have a lot of like down times throughout the day, right? Some of you, right, you commute to school. You take the school bus, right, and you walk from class to class. Listen, going to the bathroom, if you're sitting on the toilet, that's a downtime. You're not doing anything else. It might seem funny, but, you know, those are opportunities for you to get into the Word of God. So we are without excuse. And not reading the Bible. Because there's so much. I wish we were able to just do a study on how much downtime we have throughout the day. Maybe you could do that. You could experiment on your own. Just log in all the downtime and see how much total time you have. You know, I practiced this in college. The college where I went to, we had buses that ran from one campus to another. And when I was on the bus, you know, there's nothing else to do. You just pull up your Bible and you could read. You could read the Word. When you're waiting online, sometimes I'm waiting online in a cafeteria. The lines are really long. Instead of just, you know, kind of gazing aimlessly and looking around, you can read the Word. Right? Instead of checking, you know, we're always checking. This is just, it's so, and when you really think about it, it's mind-boggling. We need to be updated with everyone's lives. Just like, you know, you checked 10 minutes ago, but, you know, I just need to check again. It's like impulsive. It's, I don't know. I don't know what it is about it. But instead of being updated with Winston and Caleb's life, maybe I should just spend time with the Lord Jesus in the Word, right? We need to get into the Word because that's how we can receive Spirit and life. But I would even say, not just read it in a way that, you know, I just want to get through it. But we really need to pray, read the Word. You know, in the verse John 6:57, as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me. That word eats, if you really look into it, it means masticate. The Greek word means masticate. And if you know what masticate means, it means to chew finely. To like chew on the cud, like what cows do, right? With grass, they chew finely. They juice it. It takes time. It's not, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word's okay, I'm done. No, it's reading slowly, prayerfully. It means we need to labor on the Word. We need to pray, read the Word. I really have some burden about this. Because, you know, if we don't read the Word in this way, then it's just letters to us, right? You won't find life. It's with the Pharisees. You know, the Lord told them, you search the Scriptures, right? You know, we could be searching the Scriptures in a way, reading the Bible. But you're not willing to come to me to receive life. You may gain life. There's life in the Word. We need to find life in the Word. And another example is, you know, when the Lord was born, you know, the Magi came, right? Did you know there were people living on that earth, scribes, Pharisees, that knew where he was going to be born, right? So the Magi came and they said, oh, he's going to be in Bethlehem. Isn't it puzzling, though? They knew that, and these are people of God. They're, you know, they're religious. They should have went there. They knew he was going to be in Bethlehem, but they were content just knowing about the birth of Jesus. But it was only the Magi, right? The Magi who actually went and found the Lord Jesus, right? In the same way, we cannot be satisfied just by knowing. Oh, I know. I know in him was life. I just know. We need to touch life. We need to touch the living Word. And the way to do this is by pray reading. You know, to pray read. You know, there's a little booklet. I really recommend you. I mean, there's a lot of ministry portions on pray reading. But something that's really helpful, and I think even the middle schoolers could get into, it's just that little booklet. It's called Pray Reading. Okay? And so there's a section there that really says how to pray read. I'll just read a little bit from here. It says, simply pick up the Word and pray read a few verses in the morning and in the evening. There is no need for you to exercise your mind in order to squeeze out some utterance. And it is unnecessary to think over what you read. Just pray with the same words you read. On every page and every verse, there is a living prayer. There is no need for you to compose any sentences or create a prayer. Just pray, read the Word. Eventually you'll see that the whole Bible is a prayer book. There's no need to explain or expound the Word. Simply pray with the Word. Forget about reading, researching, understanding, and learning the Word. You must pray, read the Word. You know, there's one aspect about learning the Word, memorizing the Word, like you all are doing, and knowing the Word. But this other aspect of pray, reading the Word is so essential. Because that's how the Word gets deposited into you. That's how you receive the life that's in the Word. That's how the renewing and the transforming takes place. We need to learn how to pray, read the Word. Okay. I can't spend any more time on that. And then my other burden is this matter of reading the Word. You really need a schedule. So this is a very practical, I'm giving you handles for you to take home with. Brothers and sisters, you need to create a schedule of your Bible reading. Because otherwise, it's just good intentions and it's like floating in the air. Right? Oh, I know I need to pray, read the Word. I know I need to read the Bible, but it's like you, when you leave and you don't have a schedule, then there's no goal. It's like running. You're running aimlessly, right? Who runs a race without knowing the goal? You need to have a goal, right? You need to have a schedule in place. Oh, I'll read you this portion in the ministry. Well, he says, without a schedule, we will read the Bible unceasingly when we are happy and put the Bible aside when we are not happy. Is this your experience? You get stirred up in the summer school of truth. You go back. Oh, I'm going to... I won't expose the brothers, but I heard some brothers last year wanted to read so much, right? 6 chapters a day. Sometimes they spent a whole hour. But then after a while, it kind of dwindled and then it stopped, right? I mean, this is my case too. We get stirred up. We have good intentions. But if you don't have a schedule, a practical schedule, then we only read when we're happy. And then when, you know, our situation is not so good, then we drop it, right? So we need to create a schedule. And so with that, I want to present some practical things, or 2 practical websites that I encourage you to participate in. And so one of the brothers is going to turn on the screen. Okay, you can write this down. It's readhisword.com and lettheword.com. Okay. Readhisword.com is a website that you can use to create a schedule. Is it up yet? Technical difficulties. Oh, there you go. Okay, did you copy it down? Readhisword.com. It's all in one word. You type that in and you'll get it. Okay. So, how many of you have never seen this before? Quite a few. Okay, good. So some saints put this together, and it's such a helpful tool to me, and hopefully for you as well. So you could create different schedules based on your capacity, right? And so this is my schedule. I'm reading through the Old Testament and the New Testament. And if you look on... how about, Caleb, can you click on create schedule? So you're able to create a schedule. You name your schedule. And then you schedule from what book you want to start. So maybe you want to start from the Gospels, Matthew. So, Caleb, you want to click on Matthew? Matthew, and then you want to end in John. Okay. And then you pick your start day. I think August 15 is today, and your end day. Let's just say October 23rd. Let's just pick October 23rd. Okay. And then see, there's a little box there too. If you want to read with footnotes, you can add that in. And then there below that, you see on what days you want to read. So maybe you just want to do Mondays through Fridays and leave Saturday and Lord's Day as catch-up. You could do that. So you click on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then leave it like that. And then it'll even send you reminders to your email. They'll tell you in the beginning of the week, okay, you need to read this, that. Okay, create the schedule. Click on create the schedule. Oh, you have to name it. Oh, yeah, you have to change it too, because that's next year. That's going to be a very slow pace. I'll be like a verse, half a verse a day. Okay, now create the schedule. Okay, so then it tells you every day what you need to read. So over there it says Friday. You have to read from Matthew 1:1 to Matthew 4. It's about four chapters, right? And then when you read it, then you could check it off, right? And let's say for some reason you dropped it for a few days and then you need to recreate your schedule. You could do that. You could just go back and edit it. Maybe you want to give yourself more time, so click on the end date. And let's say just go to the end of the year, 31st. And then update schedule. So then everything gets updated. So like if you're in the middle of your reading and then you want to play around with your schedule, you could do that. And it'll just calculate based on a number of verses. And so this is very helpful because, again, we need to have a schedule, right? And when you have a schedule, then you know that whether or not you're in line with that schedule. Okay, the other website I really want to show you guys is lettheword.com. Okay, it's lettheword.com. And I think we presented this last year. So what this website does is it brings out the corporate aspect of Bible reading, right? So you could create a group and people could join that group and we could read the Bible together. Because when we do anything, right, in the Christian life with companions, we are encouraged and we are strengthened. So you could go to my group, right? You create a group. So I created a group. It's called NE Northeast SST Dominion. Amen. Can the brothers from Dominion say amen?
Amen.
12B. That means 12th grade brothers. So brothers, let's read the Bible together.
Amen.
I already created a group. Hope you guys join it. Image brothers need to create a group too.
Amen.
And everybody else should create a group. Okay. And so that's the group key. So when you join a group, since it's already created, all you need to do is type in that group key and then you get placed into that group. Okay? Huh? The group key is on the left. Yeah. Right there. Yeah, so, thank you. So maybe, okay, as I'm going over, who has a phone right now? Okay, so why don't you join? You can use your phone only at this time. Okay, so you type in the group key, and then we'll see Winston join in a moment. So then you'll see, yeah, so each group has a special group key, right? So if you type in that group key, then you get placed into this group. And see, and now it tracks your consistency. So my consistency is a little off. Sometimes, okay, the numbers are not 100% accurate, and I don't know why. But anyways, maybe Matthew could let us know why. And it tracks the number of chapters that you read in the last 7 days. It tells you the last activity. right? So the point of this is, you know, after you read the Bible, you will post it. So go to my reading, Caleb. Should click on my reading? Yeah. So see, this tracks all the chapters of the Bible that you read thus far, right? And so it tells you the date, and it tells you what you read. And this is also a good way to just keep track of what you've read in the past. Like, you could go back as far as you want. And so the nice thing about this is, okay, sometimes it's kind of inconvenient to go on a computer and do this. They've made a function where you could text in your reading, okay? And so you click on that. And so if you text this number, okay, with your Bible reading, so for example, I'm going to do that right now, and you'll know what I mean. I am now in Psalms. Okay. It should have posted. You go to my reading. See? So, that's my reading for today. I read Psalms 1. And so, with that, actually, what I like about this is, you know, we all text, right? Now, today, we pretty much, everybody texts. So, this is a good reminder for me when I pick up the phone and I'm going through my text messages, because I think Apple, I don't have an Apple device, but at least for Android, you know, you have a list of all the text messages, right? The different threads, right? And so my Bible reading now is a thread in my phone. So sometimes, I'm texting somebody and then, you know, I see, you have successfully posted Psalms 1. So it reminds me that, I need to read my Bible. I better not forget. I have to read my Bible. And then sometimes, you know, I like to leave. You can't see this, but anyway, I'll just tell you what I like to do. I like to leave the thread unread. Because I don't know if you're like me, but it annoys me when I have text messages that says that it's unread. You know what I'm talking about? Or you guys are not bothered by this. So whenever I have that indicator, like I need to find out, okay, which text message did I not read? And so if I have this unread, then again, it's a reminder. I need to read the Bible, right? So Winston is here now. Winston, you're at 0%.
I know.
Yeah. You got to catch up. And you never read. But it'll be different, right? Starting today. And then you could post comments, right? So as you're reading together, you could share your enjoyment. Praise the Lord for the Bible.
Amen.
Okay, not only that, okay, you go back to the homepage. This really encourages me. You see all this? This is all the dear brothers and sisters from around the world that are reading the Bible.
Amen.
And sometimes when I look at that, I just get encouraged, right? And then you look on the left, chapters posted all time. That's a big number. So we're all reading the Bible together. And so I hope with this tool, we could really cultivate, right, the pursuit of the Word individually and also corporately, right? Okay. Now, we had some fellowship, and we're proposing a certain Bible reading challenge for all the different groups this year in the Summer School of Truth. And we want to read... Is it just the Gospels, or I think we'll start with the Gospels. Let's just start with the Gospels, Matthew through John. From now until, can you go back to read, let his word? The 66-day Bible reading challenge, okay? I think the date is wrong. It should be 2014. Okay. And the reason why it's 66 days... it's because I did a little research. I Googled how long does it take for you to form a habit. And on average, for, you know, the average Joe, is 66 days. For some people, it's 18 days. For some people, it's longer, over 100 days. But when you do something, on average, for 66 days, it becomes a habit. And habits are very important, right? Because then, you know, it becomes part of your daily living. So if we could do this for 66 days, I believe Bible reading will become your habit.
Amen.
Right? It will be part of your everyday living. And so I don't know what the prize will be. We'll let you know. I just thought maybe we could send everybody CDs or something, but I didn't ask Brother Dennis yet. But yeah, he said no problem. So the prize to the winning group, CDs, right? I'll help pay for them. But so I hope we could all join and we all could read the word together, because reading is so important. Okay, and another website we want to show everybody today is H Turners. How many of you know about this? Not a lot. This is also an excellent tool. Why? Because you have the speaking of the words of the faith, right? The ministry. And there are podcasts, things that you could download, MP3s. Why don't you go to Flee and Pursue? Things that you could download into your device. Go down. There you go. The need for first-hand direct... right here. This matches exactly what I was talking about. Letter A. Click on that. And so you could download it on right here. See, you could download the MP3, or you could just play it on your computer. And you know how like everybody walks around with these things in your ears, right? And plugged into a certain device? Yeah, what if instead of whatever else you're listening to, you listen to that? You think that would make a difference? You think you'll be a little more sanctified? I believe you will. You know, in high school, when I was driving to school, in the beginning, I was just listening to the radio. But the Lord touched me. Instead of listening to radio, why don't you listen to a CD? A hymn CD, right? That washes you. There's another sister who's far beyond high school years anyway. She testified that during, like, you know, the time that one class ends, between that time and, you know, the time where the next class begins, you have some downtime, right? And so her practice was she would listen. Okay, those days we had compact discs. A lot of you probably have never seen one before. And she would listen to songs, hymns, right? And one time, one of her friends opened her CD player and looked at us, what is this? And there's a little opportunity there to preach the gospel, right? So we could sanctify ourselves in so many different ways just by taking care of what gets injected into us, what we input, what we take in, right? And so we could listen to the healthy words, right? Okay, so that's another tool. Okay, I'm almost out of time, so maybe we could close that. And let's just finish the outline. Okay, letter E. How about sisters, you read one, brothers two, and then all together three. E. Oh, sorry, we're on D. Yeah, go ahead. Amen. 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 To drink, to experience salvation, the easiest way is to call on the Lord. And write this down. The Isaiah, you know, those verses there. There's a really good footnote. When you get an opportunity, you can read it. It's verse 3, footnote 1. Okay, it talks about, you know, because we know from that verse, actually the whole portion in Isaiah 12, where the trying God has come to be our salvation. And the easiest way is just to drink and to call on the Lord. When you call on the Lord, you're taking a drink, right? You could call anywhere, right? This is even more accessible than even reading the word, because your spirit is always with you. You could be in class. The teacher can be talking. You should be paying attention, but you could also be calling on the Lord. And I had an experience with this. I had to take a philosophy class. And, you know, many times in philosophy, they're just atheists, and they speak these things that question the faith. And while I was sitting there, the teacher didn't know, I was sitting there quietly calling on the name of the Lord. And I enjoyed that class all semester because it forced me to call on the Lord. We can call on the Lord. Any place, anywhere, anytime. And when you call, you get saved. Okay, Next point, E. Brothers, go. One. Amen. Amen. And we need to have time to pray. And regarding this matter, I just want to read one thing about the need for us to persevere in our prayer. You know, everything is against us, right? The whole world is against us. And if we don't persevere in our prayer, and that's Colossians 4:2, then very quickly, everything that we receive from the Lord will leak away. And so we need to persevere, right? Stand in the face of adversity. Yeah, that's the right word. When you go against the tide of this age, right, by persevering in prayer. And to do this, actually, we really actually need to consecrate ourselves for the prayer life. And so this is in the life study of Colossians. I just want to read these three prayers, and I hope you would do this. Be serious about this. If you want to persevere, not just in your prayer life, but even this, I think, applies to your spending time with the Lord, praying with the Lord in the mornings, you're reading the Bible, have a vow before the Lord. Okay, I'll just read you these three prayers. Before you try to persevere in prayer, you should first make a deal with the Lord concerning your prayer life. Pray to Him in a definite way and say, "Lord, I mean business with You about this matter of prayer. I call heaven and earth to witness that from this time forth I will have a life of prayer. I will not be a prayerless person. Rather, I will be a praying person." Second prayer. "Lord, I am desperate about this. I offer myself to You so that I may have a prayer life. Lord, keep me in the spirit of prayer. If I forget this or neglect this, I know You will not forget it. Remind me again and again about prayer." The third prayer. "Lord, I know that I forget this vow. You will not forget it. From the very beginning, Lord, I want to clearly hand the responsibility over to You. Lord, don't let me go. Remind me to pray." Saints, I really encourage you to go before the Lord. And if you're serious about this, if you're serious about growing unto full salvation, pray these prayers to the Lord. Make a vow before Him. Consecrate this matter of being a praying person to Him. And I tell you, this works. This really works. When I pray this, the Lord will remind me, "You prayed that. Spend some time with me in prayer." Okay. I'm going to finish. Okay, letter F. With the church. Functioning as members. Serving as priests. Enjoying the corporate blessing. Okay, we need to meet with the church. It's like the ark. When you're in the ark, you get saved. When you're in the church meetings, you get saved. Amen. You get saved by so many different things. And not only just to go to the meetings, but serve. When you serve in the meetings, you also get saved. And this is my testimony. In my senior year in high school and then through my college years, I joined myself to a church service. Okay, and that service saved me. In particular, it was just serving with the young people. Because I realized that no matter how I felt, you know, Saturday night, it's my turn to serve. I need to go before the Lord. "Lord, I need You. Lord, wash me. Wash me from the day. Wash me from the whole week." You can't go to the meetings and be a serving one if, you know, you're down in the dumps. Right? You need to go before the Lord. This forces you to have so many transactions with the Lord. Service will save you. You need to serve in the meetings. Serve in the church meetings. Okay? The meetings will really save us. It will really preserve us. Okay, I can't spend any more time on that. Going to G. Okay, let's read that all together.
Preaching the gospel.
The first person to be saved when you preach the gospel is?
You.
Me. Let's say that again. The first person to be saved when you preach the gospel is?
Me.
Me. When you preach the gospel, you get saved. And regarding this point, and actually we're going to have a whole meeting on this point, but I just want to mention that, You know, our burden, young people, is not that you come to Summer School of Truth, you participate in going out to New York or in New Jersey, in Princeton, Rutgers, and you participate in the gospel, and then, you know, sometimes we hear this kind of sharing. Oh, I enjoyed so much gospel preaching. The last time I did this was last year in the Summer School of Truth. No! You can't preach the gospel just once or twice in your life. What about the other 360 days? Yeah, the gospel needs to be your living. Amen. You need to preach the gospel at your schools. Live out this gospel. And we really encourage you all, you know, as you're going home, to help you. You should write down on a list, and maybe the serving ones will help you during your group time this afternoon. Write down on a sheet of paper some names, right, that you're burdened for, and start praying for them. Find another companion, another brother, another sister. Pray for your friends, because this works. And maybe we can have, sorry, I'm going a little over time, but I really want this testimony to be spoken. So we asked one brother and two sisters to kind of share their experience. So why don't you come up now, Kevin, and then Baraka and Rebecca. They're going to share to you, you know, because I feel like every year we tell you, you know, write down on a sheet of paper some names, right? This is not the first time, except for maybe the middle schoolers. But we hear this every year. And do you know that this actually works? Like, amen. Putting names down and praying over them, it works. Amen. Prayer works. Amen. You need to hear these testimonies. Okay, Kevin, why don't you want to?
Amen. After I was saved, after I was baptized, I remember maybe it was only like 2 or 3 weeks in, but one of the messages we were listening to was how we had to get those of our friends saved and how we could bring them into the church life. And that's when my mom also heard this message, and she just decided to come home every night and decided to pray with me about saving my friends. When I started, I didn't really have a burden for preaching the gospel. That's mainly because I was scared. I didn't want, you know, my friends to think differently of me. But my mom, like, sort of forced me. And over time, it became a habit that every night after we would eat dinner, we'd come together and we'd pray about my friends. And the first lesson I learned in preaching the gospel was that we had to pray very specifically. My first maybe 2 weeks of praying was just, oh, Lord, just save my friends. And I would pray that over and over again. But that wasn't really giving me an opportunity. My mom just told me, you know, pray for one friend. I didn't know who I should pray for, but my mom just taught me to pray, oh, Lord, just give me a name. Give me one name to pray for. And over time, I began to see that the Lord was really pushing me towards this one other, I guess, another friend of mine who was in my preschool with me and moved into elementary school with me. And I just started to pray for him. I prayed for him every night. And over time, we began to ask him to come to the meetings. He came just about every Sunday. And my mom always would, you know, say, you know, why don't you invite him to this meeting and that meeting? I was scared, but, you know, I would pray and then I would call him and be like, do you want to come to this meeting with us? And he would always be, okay, I guess, sure. And I was nervous whenever he came because I didn't want to say something that would make him, like, never come back. So I was always quiet, but I would always be praying, oh, Lord, just give me an opportunity to speak to him. And I remember it was, I was going to middle school when in the winter we have a conference, or it was a retreat called Harvey Cedars, where we go to New Jersey for two nights, 3 days. And I wanted to invite my friend to this. He wasn't saved, but he came to all the meetings. So I just prayed to the Lord, oh, Lord, bring my friend to this retreat. You know, I was praying this for a whole week, and then I finally had I manned up to speak to him. I was like, do you want to come with us to this retreat? It's for 3 days. Not going to lie, I sort of tricked them into coming. I said it'd be fun. It's like a camp or whatever. You know, I mean, I got him to come, and I guess he really enjoyed. But over those 3 days, I really wanted him to get saved because he was away from the city and he was away from his family, which was really holding him back. Because I knew he was really into, you know, the church life. He was really into our meetings. He was willing to come, but his parents are always, you know, telling him that he should stay home on Sundays and study. He wasn't, you know, his parents didn't come. It was just him. And I prayed with my mom one night. The night the first night we were there, I just prayed, oh Lord, just save my friend here at Harvey Cedars. Save him tomorrow. And, you know, the next day, I asked him, do you want to get saved? Do you want to just, you know, take the Lord as your Savior? And that meeting happened to be about, you know, salvation. And that day, that night, he actually prayed with us, and he was able to get baptized. Amen. Oh, Lord, I was just so happy. Afterwards, we prayed for him to, you know, come to the meetings, and he came for one other, like, you know, after the being saved, being baptized, he came, and he was still enjoying, but his parents were not letting him come anymore. So every night, we just still pray, oh, Lord, bring this brother back. And that's one lesson that I really learned, that you have to pray very specifically. It's not just pray to save all my friends. Pray to save one specific friend, one name that you pray over and over again. And you have to be very persistent, because I prayed for months for him to be saved. And it was just over and over again with my mother, night and night, just to pray for this one name. And also pray for a specific time. You know, I didn't know when to speak to him, but I just prayed that the Lord would give me an opportunity. And at the retreat, I just prayed, oh, Lord, save my friend at this retreat. That one day, you know, he was able to be saved. I'm really thankful that the Lord was able to bring one of my friends.
Praise the Lord for the gospel. So ever since I was little, I really wanted, like, some of my classmates to come to the Lord, to the children's meeting with us. And I invited a few people. And once, for the first time, somebody came with me, and that was my cousin. But he didn't come regularly. But the first person that I sort of had fellowship with that came regularly was my friend Kayla. She was a classmate of mine, and so what happened was that a precious sister of ours, she talked to her aunt, and then her aunt got really interested in the gospel, and Kayla came. And it turned out that she was in she was in the same school as me, and it was just so enjoyable. When she finally came, we invited her to the gospel meeting, and there she got saved. And I was just so happy for her. Her mom said that she can't get baptized until a year later, but praise the Lord that she has your life in her. And not only did we go to the meetings together, we also prayed and fellowshiped on the bus on the way to school. So while everybody else around us was, gossiping, cursing, we were just singing and praying together. And her mom, her parents are not saved yet. And it took a lot of praying together for her to come to Harvey Cedars with us. And after a lot of prayer, she finally came. And we were really happy for her. Well, her parents, after a situation, her parents didn't allow her to come to the meetings anymore. But now I really have this burden to pray for Kayla. And we're still praying for her.
Amen. So my experience started in the summer of sixth grade when my parents, against my will, sent me to summer school. Like, not this summer school, but like learning summer school. And there I met this girl who had just come from China, and she didn't speak English at all. And me being the only person who actually speaks Mandarin there, they made me go translate for her. So basically, while I was talking to her, I got to know her, and I invited her to the meetings, and I prayed with my parents so that she would be saved. And during this time, at school, she was also going through some problems. She was getting bullied in school, and a lot of her her so-called classmates were making fun of her. So every day, after school, I would just go with my parents, and we would just pray that she would take God as her savior, so God could comfort her. So after some time, I invited her to the meetings, and so she came, and she really liked coming, and she was really enjoying it. And so I remember it was 2 years ago when I first started coming to the Summer School of Truth. I just got back, and I was really excited to share all of my experiences with her. So it was a Saturday night at a home meeting, and As soon as she came in, I just like started talking to her everything that I had learned in Summer School of Truth. And I just continuously, over the whole entire hour, the whole entire meeting, I just kept on talking to her about everything we had learned. And so after talking to her, like, she was really touched by what I had told her. And she said that she wanted to be baptized, which was like really shocking. And and basically after that, she's came like regularly, and what was really encouraging to me was that like even sometimes when we forgot to call her or to say that we're gonna come to pick you up, and she would just call us and be like, are you coming to pick me up this Sunday, like is there a meeting today? And we just like really encouraged. So basically the moral of this experience is that praying is like the key to everything. Like with prayer, anything can happen. Like with your friends, even at school, like sometimes it's hard to preach the gospel to your friends, but as soon as you pray, like continuously pray over the same person over and over again, God will work in them.
Amen. Weren't those testimonies encouraging? Amen. Do you have faith?
Amen.
That prayer works?
Amen.
We can pray for our friends? So it starts with prayer. Without prayer, the Lord cannot move. So I hope this afternoon we can spend some time before the Lord. The Lord will put some on our hearts, and we can start to pray for them. Okay? So I'm just going to end here. Brothers and sisters, what a summer school of the truth this has been. It's been spectacular. But I want to end with this one thing, is that you need to realize that a lot of this takes place in your normal, day-to-day, Amen. Unspectacular, normal days.
Amen.
You need to experience the ordinary days under the divine dispensing.
Amen.
This takes place in an instant. This takes place in an instant. But this process takes time. It takes time. So I hope you will seize the opportunity. You were redeemed to time. And what that means practically is all those points that we went through, right, this morning. Praise the Lord. Sorry, went a little over. Should we just end with some prayers? And so let's just pray with the ones around us, and then we'll stop here.